Night, so we will again read out of Peter. And so we read Peter chapter 3 last week, so we'll go to Peter chapter 4 this week. And so if you want to come, you come and we'll read the scripture here tonight. Only 19 verses in chapter 4 of 1 Peter. So if you want to come, you come. And we will do it again. Six verses, Brother Keith.
Six verses, okay. 1 Peter chapter 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past, of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit.
But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak at the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you.
Thank you, George.
But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ, suffering that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of the glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him be ashamed. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator.
All right, well, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll begin reading there in verse 6 here tonight as we stand. Verse 6 of 2 Peter chapter 1 says, "And to knowledge temperance." And to knowledge temperance. Tonight will be temperance. And so we will be preaching on that tonight, to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus tonight, and Lord, we're just thankful for the goodness and the kindness that you show and share. And Lord, we're unworthy people. God, we deserve nothing. Lord, we are nothing without you, and we can do nothing without you. And so tonight, Lord, we, in an humbled heart, God, in a submissive will, Father, just are thankful that you give us the strength and the breath and the health, God, to come back to the house of God. Father, thank you for the to give us a place to come to. God, a word that we can open, a song that we can sing. God, a message that we can preach. God, a hope that we can have. Father, thank you tonight, God, for just being your children. God, called by your name. Father, I ask you tonight to bless us with your word, anoint us with your spirit. Father, change us for the glory of God. Make this, dear God, different than any other Wednesday. God, this may be different, dear God, in all aspects of what we're doing and how we're doing it. God, meet with us in a real way. God, I pray, God, that you'd have your way in our hearts tonight, God. I pray that you'd overcome the faith, dear God, that the unbelief, dear God, that we may have. And God, I pray, Father, that you'd move in the midst of every life and every heart. God, I know we're tired. God, I know we're weary. I know tonight, dear God, it's been long. But we're praying, God, that you give us the attention. God, you help us to pay attention. God, you give us the strength and wisdom tonight, God, to know your word. God, to make application to our lives. God, to change us for what we need to be rather than what we are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So tonight we're again working at this understanding growing up in the faith, and how that we as Christians tonight is growing, and we desire to grow. We pray you'll desire to grow. That's one of the parts of growing, is wanting to grow. And so here tonight, as we look at the word temperance, we find it to be a word that's used throughout the Scripture. It's not an unfamiliar word. We spoke of that word back in the fruit of the Spirit. And so tonight, once again, temperance is part of our message here tonight. So I want to start with just the requirement of growth tonight, the requirement of growth. What does it require to grow? Well, the first thing I notice, according to the Scripture, is faith. It's going to require faith in order for us to grow. The Bible says in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith. And so if we're going to grow in the faith, we have to have the faith. And so tonight we find that faith is through the righteousness of God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a divine faith. It's not your faith that you generated. It's not a faith that you were born with. It's a divine faith. It's a given faith. It's a faith that comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. It's a faith that God has given us in the way of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's how we receive it. That's how we get it this evening, is through the righteousness of our Lord. But then I notice, secondly, tonight, another requirement of growth is not only the faith, but the second requirement is power. We see that in verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so, in order for us to grow, we're going to have faith. And that's the like precious faith. That's the faith through which Jesus Christ gives. And so we find in that we have to have power of the Holy Ghost. And so tonight we see that power. That power is given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so tonight, in order for us to grow, we're going to have the Holy Ghost of God, the divine power of God. That's what's going to bring us past where we are. That's what's going to draw us into a further place, is that power that gives to us so that we can have all things unto life. That's human life, godliness, that's spiritual life. And so in order for us to grow, the requirements is faith. The second requirement is power. The third requirement is truth. We see that in verse 4. whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's the Word of God, the Word of truth, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. And so we find divine nature here is what the Word of God will bring. The seed of the Word of God will change your nature. The Word of God this evening is what will bring us to the place of maturity. And so we're going to need that truth, the truth of God, the truth of the Word of God. And so that's divine nature, divine powers, the Holy Ghost. We see faith, which is divine. And then I want to know fourthly tonight is that there's going to be a desire for growth. Desire for the child of God or the church of God. If there's going to be growth, there's got to be a desire. We see that in verse 5. He said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And so in order for you to add to your faith, you're going to have some desire. You're going to have some sort of determination in my heart, my mind, that I'm going to grow, that I'm going to become more than I am. I'm going to become like Jesus. I'm going to become the Christian that I always wanted to be, or that I have seen, or that I have read, or something that's going to bring me to a place where I'm going to be more than what I am, a desire. And tonight we see that in the Scripture, the word giving there. We already mentioned this, but we'll mention it again. The word giving in verse 5 means to contribute. To contribute besides faith. It's not to contribute to make your faith grow, but it's a contribute to besides the faith. And that means that there's going to have to be a giving on your part. You're going to have to contribute with the faith that God's given to you. You've got to add to it. You're going to have to bring to the table, I guess you'd say. You've got to bring to your life a desire, but there's going to have to be a contribution made by you. You're going to have to make an offering by you. You're going to have to be available, and you're going to have to be to be one who participates with God. And then we find the cooperation with faith. The word diligence here, that means to have a cooperation with faith, to cooperate with God as God brings to you in the mind of, by the way of preaching God's Word, or by the way of meditating upon God's Word, or maybe that you are memorizing God's Word, or you're hearing God's Word, or wherever God's Word's preached and taught and even sung, that as that Spirit of God, which is the power, begins to work in your heart, and as the power of nature, which is the Word of God, begins to take you and to move you and begins to shape you and to mold you and to mend you, that you're going to cooperate with that, that you're not going to reject it, you're not going to neglect it, you're not going to hold out, you're not going to be in opposition of, you're not going to be an adversary to. You're going to cooperate with what God tells you through His Spirit and by His Word. And so you're going to contribute, you're going to cooperate. That word diligence means to be eager or eagerness. It means to be forward or forwardness. It means to have business. And so my business as a Christian is to grow. It's not your business to get me to grow. It's my business for me to grow. Amen. And so if I'm growing, then I'm taking care of my business. If I'm not growing, I'm not taking care of my business. And so there's a diligence about this. And then thirdly, we've talked about before that word add in verse 5. It means to fully supply, a combining to faith. That I'm going to supply. I'm going to aid. I'm going to furnish. In other words, tonight, we don't have the faith because we're born with the faith. We've obtained it. But while we obtain the faith of God, God says, okay, now since you have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, you got some part and responsibility in your growth and how you live. And then you're going to have to add, you're going to have to give, you got to be diligent, you got to be eager and forward. It's going to be your business, not my business, your business, that you bring forth a growth in your life. And so I would say tonight that every one of us are where we are because that's where we want to be. I say this all the time, and, And you probably say this all the time, but Lord, I know I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I should be either. Why? Why? We use that sort of as a crutch. We say, you know what, I'm glad that I know more now than I've ever known before. But are you where you want to be? And I would think tonight, if we're honest with ourselves, we'd probably say no. I wish I knew more. I wish I had more memorization. I wish I had more knowledge. I wish I had more understanding. I wish I had more wisdom. And the bottom line is this: you are your worst enemy. You are in the way. You are where you are because that's where you want to be. There's no one to blame tonight but us. There's no one tonight that we can look to and say, my pastor, or the guy in the church, or the woman in the church, or my mother, or my brother, or my sister, or any of that kind of stuff, or where I live, or where I didn't know. No, tonight God's given us everything to live a human life and godliness tonight. He has brought forth a divine power, a divine nature, a divine the Lord Jesus Christ has put faith and built faith in us. And now it's our decision and our desire. And we got to be diligent with this and give and add so that we may grow. And friend, in order to do that tonight, we're going to have a desire. And I believe on many occasions tonight, we are where we are because our desire lacks. We get tired. We get frustrated. We get aggravated. We get mad. We get angry. We get our eyes off of Jesus and get on to men. We lose focus. We faint and get weary. And so tonight we can have a whole long list of things of why we're not growing. But tonight the message is add. Stop making excuses. Stop giving God everything in the world but growth, and let's begin to grow. That's what the message is tonight. Let's just grow. Let's stop worrying about why we haven't grown and why we didn't grow. But let's start growing. Let's start adding to our faith tonight. And the first thing I noticed is the reason for growth. And so why do you want to grow? You know, what's the purpose of that? You know, we talk about growth and you say, okay, well, all right, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Ain't that enough? Well, I mean, to you that are saved, it should be enough because there's some reasons for growth. The first one is to produce in the Christian life. Don't you want to produce? I mean, I would think tonight if you go to work, you want to produce money. So you work the overtime, you work the extra shifts, you work the extra time, you learn more skill, you go to school to get so you can have more understanding and clarity, and so you can, and the bottom line is so that you can have more money, so you can have more things, so you can live a better life. Right? I mean, that's producing. You want to produce children. You want to produce things. You want to produce tools. You want to produce skills. If we all in life want to produce, then in the Christian life, it ought to be magnified 100 times that I want to produce. As a Christian, I want to produce. That's why growth is important. That's why growth is a reason. In verse 8, it says, "For these things be in you and abound, that make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Tonight, the reason why you want to grow is so that you can produce. It's what the Bible teaches. We went through that last week. We're not going to go through it again, but to produce. Don't you want to produce? I think that you want to. I want to produce more Christians. I want to produce more families. I want to produce more people to be real and have the knowledge and the truth of God. I want to produce. I want to multiply. I want to abound. I want to be more today than I was yesterday. I want to be more of a Christian today than I was yesterday. And tomorrow I want to be better than today. Produce, right? I mean, I hope that we're just not settled with common. Hope we're not just settled with, I'm just okay. You know, I got other things that are more important. Tonight, there's nothing more important than being a Christian. There's nothing more important than producing in Christianity. You can produce in many ways. You can have a lot of money and a lot of sense and a lot of education. You can have a lot of skill. You can have a lot of abilities. But if you're a babe in Christ, you failed. You're absolutely unsuccessful. And tonight, we don't want to be that way. We want to produce. Number two, I noticed that the reason for growth is not to produce in the Christian life, but to progress in the Christian life. Verse 10 says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." We're not interested in falling tonight. We're interested in progressing. We're interested in moving. I know tonight that in the way of production we want to be, but in the way of progression too, we want to progress. We want today be better than yesterday. We want tomorrow to be a highlight. The days ahead are better, right? Progressing. We're not digressing tonight. We're not going backwards. We're not looking at the good old days. We're not trying to compare what happened in the 1996 and 2006 and 2016 compared to 2020 tonight. We're progressing. We're going on. We're moving forward. We're leading out. That's what the Bible teaches tonight. Not to look back. Not to worry about what happened in the past. Forgetting those things that were behind us. That's what the Bible teaches tonight. And to move forward and to go on and progress on tonight. Oh, we don't care about yesterday. We care about tomorrow. And so as a Christian tonight, why do you want to grow? To progress. To progress. I don't want to fall. I'm not interested in falling, stumbling. I'm not interested tonight in the hurting people and the breaking up families and breaking up children and hurting homes and splitting churches and dividing people. I'm not interested in that. I'm ready to progress. Amen? Production. Progression. And then we see verse 11, prosperity. The prosperity. To prosper in my Christian life is the reason for growth. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Prosperity. That's prosperity. In Christ Jesus is the riches. You'll not get more outside of Christ than in Christ. Hey, going to heaven and entering into the kingdom of God is the greatest reward and the greatest hope that any man could ever be. Growth. Growth. That's what that's about tonight. And so we see the requirement of growth. Faith, power, truth, desire. We see the reason for growth. To produce, to progress, and to be prosperous. Here thirdly tonight is really the message for the night. Is the revelation in growth. How do we know that we're growing? How do we know you're growing? How do you know that growth is really part of my life? The revelation of it. Well, I say number one, verse 5, talks about a strength to succeed. See, in order for us to grow tonight, there's going to have to be a strength about it. That's called virtue. We've seen that in verse 5. It says, add to your faith virtue. We mentioned some time ago concerning virtue. I just want to mention a few things tonight about that, is that if we're going to add to our faith virtue, then that's the very beginning of your growth. And the very beginning of your growth is going to have strength. That word virtue means fortitude. It means firmness. It means courage and excellence, moral excellence at that. And so tonight, what he's saying, even whether it's morally or whether it's spiritually, is that whenever you get saved and you're born again and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ indwells in you and you live upon that faith, that faith is enough for you to get to heaven. But it's not enough for you to grow. And so in that, you're going to have to add a strength. You're going to have to add a fortitude about you. You're going to have to bring to your place and say, you know what? I got to bring a courage in this Christian life. I've got to bring some excellence here. Whatsoever I do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. whether in word or deed, whatever you do for the glory of the Lord tonight. And so we have to find some pride within us, not the pride of evil, but the pride within us to say, you know, if I'm going to be a Christian, I want to be the very best Christian. If I'm going to be a Christian, and then I'm going to live a life that is of Christian. I want to please my God, my Lord. I have the fortitude, I have the firmness, I have the courage, the strength, the excellence to do that. It's amazing tonight that if you, and I don't know if any of y'all have built much of anything, or I guess we could use, let's use this, it's probably easy for everybody, it's like clothing. And so if you take some clothing and you just you take it off and you put your clothing in the closet, you know, you fold it up and you put it back into the drawer. You say, well, that's kind of dumb. I mean, wouldn't you take that clothes and put it into a basket or a hamper or whatever you'll call it, with dirty clothes hamper? That would be the first step to get your clothes washed, wouldn't it? And then the second step is take that clothes out of that hamper or out of that basket, right? And you're going to take it into your laundry room. And when you get to the laundry room, you begin to separate the whites and the darks and stuff of that nature. And cotton or whatever the materials may be. And then you begin to put it into the washer, right? And so when you put it into the washer, then when you put it in the washer, you put whatever you put in there to wash it, to the detergent or whatever, to make it however you want to smell or whatever. And then after you take it out of the washer and it goes through that process, you put it into the dryer. Then once it gets into the dryer, you also put in little stuff to make it fluffy or whatever, soft or something of that nature. And then it goes through that dryer. Then when it comes out of the dryer, you take those clothes and you fold them. And the ones that you fold, you put into a drawer. Other ones you put on a hanger, you put in a closet. Is that about right? No. Is there anything in that setup or that way of doing things that you could skip and it would be right? What could you skip? What could you switch? I know it's a hard question. You can't. In everything, if you're going to paint a house, if you're going to repair something, if you're going to fix a car, whatever you do, there are ways of doing it. And there are ways that has to be done before something else can be done. In order for us to grow from the faith, we have to have virtue. You can't skip virtue and get knowledge. You can't do it. You have to follow instructions. You have to follow the way that God has presented it to us and the way that He lays it out. He says, add to faith virtue. You've got to get some strength. You can have knowledge tonight, and Bible says knowledge puffeth up. Because you're smart, and I hear this all the time, boy, my husband, he knows the Bible. He don't go to church, he don't live for God, he don't do anything for the Lord, he don't care about missions, he don't care about his coming, he don't care about the church, he don't do anybody, he knows a lot about the Bible. That's just worthless. Who cares if you have all this knowledge about the Bible and Jesus and all that pertains in the Scripture tonight? And if you don't have no virtue. You just skip the process and so you're out. And so tonight we have to know and understand that there is a way of growing. We just don't grow how we want to grow. We just don't grow when we want to grow. You add to your faith virtue. Virtue is excellence. Don't you want to be? If you can't get past virtue, you can't get to knowledge. A Christian who gets saved and born again immediately in their heart and their mind needs to add this moral excellence, to add to this fortitude and firmness in their life and say, you know what? I am and will be a Christian. And so we find the first step is virtue, strength. In growth. And so we find, secondly, is strength to succeed, but there's a mind to succeed. Brother Keith taught on this on Sunday school, and so we come to the next is knowledge. Verse 5. The Bible says, add to virtue, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now, once you get that firmness and that fortitude and that excellency about you, morally and spiritually, now you can begin to add knowledge. Mind to succeed. Mind to succeed. Think. We are not a thankless people. Somehow people have got us into this category where Christians are just thankless people. They just, like a robot. They just live according to everybody else. There's these rules and there's these other things that we have to kind of be partakers of, and we have to be like cookie cutouts, and we have to do this and have to do that. We can't do this, we can't do that, you know, and we have to do this and have to do that. And next thing you know, we become robots with no thinking, no brain, no sense, no understanding. All we do is just blindly faith. We just trust God. We don't have to think about it. You know, we're just a bunch of dumb people who just are saved by the grace of God. And all that we do is follow the Word of God. And no matter what, we're going to do that. And bunch of ignorant people. That's not the case tonight. The case is that we have to really think. We got to add to our faith virtue, firmness, fortitude, excellency. But to virtue, that excellency, we got to add knowledge, mind. In order to succeed to this way of growth, we're going to have a mind of growth. Knowledge. I put it in three different areas. There's more areas, but tonight, for the sake of time, I'm just going to put it in three areas. We already, I hope you'd agree with me on this, that we would already have the knowledge of Jesus at salvation. Right? We see that verse 1, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 3, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory. And so we find that we have the knowledge of Christ. We have the knowledge of God. We have the knowledge of the Word of God. I'm not saying we know all of the Word of God, but we have the knowledge of it. All right? So, what is he talking about then? If we already have the knowledge. Well, the knowledge that he's speaking of here is the knowledge of belief. Like doctrines. See, you got to have knowledge of doctrines. What's the doctrine? And I'm talking about doctrine, I'm talking about teachings of Christ. What does Jesus teach on the blood? So you got to have that knowledge. You know Jesus, you know salvation, but you got to know this doctrine on the blood, the doctrine on the church, the teachings of the second coming, the knowledge, beliefs, principles, the truths. And so tonight, when you get saved, you don't know hardly nothing. But when you get that virtue, you have an inner drive that says, you know what? I'm going to live to the Christian to the utmost point. And then by doing that, I'm going to add to that knowledge of belief. Of what do I believe? Why do I believe that? Where did that come from? I'm going to ask my pastor. I'm going to ask him 500 questions on Sunday. I wish that every single member of our church would ask 500 questions next Sunday. I wish. You say, you'll be here all day. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because that would show me that there was some interest. But number two, you have to read something or know something to ask a question for it. Right? And so all I'm saying is this, is belief. You got to have the knowledge of the doctrines, the doctrine of the Bible, doctrine of heaven, doctrine of hell, doctrine of salvation, doctrine of the Holy Spirit, doctrine of Jesus Christ, doctrine of God, doctrine of the blood, doctrine of the cross. And so all of these doctrines, you say, wow, it's so much. Yeah, but the Bible teaches you those things, and the knowledge will bring you to growth. So not only is there a knowledge in belief, but there's a knowledge of behavior. The knowledge of behavior. Now, you get this through the Holy Ghost, you get this through the Word of God, and you get this through Jesus. Just like you got it through the belief, you get it through the behavior. For example, behaving when I'm at liberty or when I'm at freedom or when I'm in happiness. How do I behave as a Christian? Knowledge. Thinking. Nothing's wrong. Nothing seems to be wrong. Everything seems to be okay. I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty content. Everything seems to be working in my home and working at work and working at church. I'm just good, you know. Everything's fine. So what's your behavior should be then? See, the knowledge. Okay, what should your behavior be whenever you're under a trial and when you're under a trouble, when difficulties arise? What's your behavior then? Should it be the same? Am I wrong if it's not the same? Should my behavior be whenever I'm don't have stress or I don't have any troubles and I'm laughing and I'm talking and everything's good and I'm telling jokes and all that? But man, when I got some burdens on me, when I got some real troubling things going on, I've got maybe my wife is sick or my husband is sick or maybe finances are troubled and man, we're just going to have enough money and he got laid off and I got laid off or my children's sick. Should I go around happy and say, what is right? Right? So the Word of God, the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, He gives us that knowledge on how to behave when times are good, how to behave when times are bad. Do we need to behave the same on both of those? I don't believe the Bible teaches that. Right? The Bible talks about when somebody's died or when somebody has passed away, there's mourning. Right? The Bible teaches of being having laughter and then having mourning. Is that what it teaches in there in Ecclesiastes? There's a time to laugh, time to not laugh. And so tonight, is it okay to walk around with a burden upon you, with a mourning about you? Even though, on the other hand, when you're happy, you got a smile on your face? Or should I have a smile on my face all the time? Well, we can talk spiritual if you want to, or we can talk real. You know what I'm saying? So the behaviors, so I'm talking about knowledge tonight. How are we going to grow? See, these things brings growth in us. Then when somebody says to you, hey, how are you doing? You say, I'm doing great. And really, you're not doing great. Is that right? Or should it be, I'm glad you asked. Can I share something with you? Huh? Amen, Brother Larry. Is it every time when somebody asks you how you're doing, you say yes? You can't be doing good every day, all day long. You can't. And we're liars and deceivers. And we're making everybody think that our life is perfect in every way when it's really not. If you're not doing well, you're not doing good, then friend, listen, hey, when somebody says, oh, how are you doing? I'm doing okay. Not doing so well. I'm doing great. How is my behavior should be? This is growth. I feel like we failed here. I feel like we say the knowledge, oh, I got the knowledge of Jesus died on the cross. He rose on the third day. He's coming back someday. He sits on the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. I've got it all figured out. No, there's more to it than that. The knowledge of your behavior when you're at liberty, whenever you're at pressure point, whenever you're in trouble, whenever things are against you, when you have adversarials, a time when the devils are fighting and the darts are coming, how do I behave? That's all in knowledge. Amen? Does that make sense? Number three, I know there's knowledge in belief and knowledge in behavior, but there's knowledge in battle. When you're in a battle, when you're in a battle with your wife, when you're in a battle with your husband, how do you do? What kind of knowledge do I need in order to win that battle or to fight that battle? when I'm in a battle with my children, in the battle with the devil, when the battle at work, the battle with the world, the battle with my flesh, the battle with other people, the battle with just temptation, the battle with addiction, the battle with the TV, the battle with music. I mean, I could go on all night with all these battles that we have. Do we have knowledge of how to battle all of these things that come up against us? See, this is growth. Not just knowing Jesus. Not just having, okay, I know Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. I mean, there's more to this thing about being a Christian, and it's about growing. Knowledge in belief, knowledge in behavior, knowledge in battle. Battle. And what happens is we don't have the knowledge in battle, and the times get tough. We give up. We quit. We run into a dark room and shut our eyes. And in a corner, we think nobody's watching and nobody knows. And we're winning. And you're not winning. And you won't ever win that away. And you'll find yourself in a depressive state. You'll find yourself in a stressful situation every single time. Because we're not adding to virtue. Knowledge. How do we get that knowledge? Through God's Word, through God's Spirit, through God's Son. Amen? And so we find the revelation in growth. The revelation in growth. Add to your faith, virtue, fortitude. Add to virtue, knowledge. How, when, and where. Knowledge. Thirdly, tonight, that's where I'm at. Took a long way around to get there, didn't I? But not do we need a strength to succeed, but we need a mind to succeed, but we need a will to succeed. A will. Look there in the next, the verse 6 says, and to knowledge, temperance. Temperance. Temperance is a will. Is a will. The word temperance, it means to master something. To master something. Not to be mastered, but to master something. It means to control a thing. To control a thing. It means to restrain a thing. Now, with this thought of temperance tonight is the will. Not the mind, but the will. It's not even with strength tonight. It's the will. Our wills are strong. Our wills seem like to cause us sometimes to be stubborn. Causes us sometimes to be hard-headed. Our wills. Not our mind. Our mind don't bring us to that place, but our will does. I am willing not to do that. I am willing to do that. And so a will. So in this will to succeed in our growth, there's two ways that we can control something, or that we can master something, or we can restrain something. The first thing is to add to something. Like, for example, if we're going to have temperance, then we're going to add to our daily life Bible reading. Add to our daily life prayer. Add to our daily life telling somebody about Jesus. Maybe adding to our life, telling our spouse, I love you. Adding something to our lives. That's a control. That's a mastering. That's a restraintment. That's self-control. Self-governing. It's when we can add to our lives and it enriches our lives. It engages us. It brings us in the way of growth. I have temperance. I have the ability and the will to add to my life that doesn't deteriorate my life, or it doesn't cause a digression of life, but it creates a growth in life by adding. You might add conversation with a friend. You might add a visit with someone. You might add sending cards or add a texting or whatever, but adding, that's one way of being in control of having a mastering. But then secondly, not adding, but some subtracting. You can subtract from your life. Like, I'm not going to eat that much no more. Or I'm going to not watch that much TV any longer. Or I'm going to subtract maybe doing something is not real that profitable to me. And so that's control. You're subtracting something. You're removing something. You're taking something away. And so tonight, we need to do these things. I believe it's life, and that in life you need to add some things, and in life you need to take away some things. Is that true? I don't believe tonight that we can just live the same all the time. I believe there's things in our lives that God grows us up to know and say, hey, you know, I need to remove that from my life. It's just not good. But then I need to add some things too. And so growth goes up and God takes away and God adds to. And it's just moving like this all the time. But it's growing. If you have nothing new in your life, something's wrong with your life. If you're not adding something to your life or taking away something in your life, well, then you're not growing in your life. So we have to always... I can be honest with you tonight. I've been saved for a long time. And there's some things when I first got saved today just don't mean to me like it did meant then back then. Y'all feel the same? Those have been saved a long time? There's some things that I would have died for or things that I would have fought for years ago that right now I don't even care. And there's some things a long time ago that I didn't really think of or didn't even concerned of that today I'm really interested in. I'm really interested in. I'm really for that. I thought it was something maybe not important, but today, after all these years, there are some things in my life that I've added to my life that I didn't have before that I feel like are important. And so this is just growth, right? I mean, but it's taking faith. It's adding virtue. That's that fortitude. That's that strength. That's that excellency. I'm going to be everything God wants me to be. And then I'm going to add knowledge on top of that. How I'm going to behave. How am I going to battle? And how am I going to believe? And then on top of that, I'm going to add this temperance, where I can take all that I've gained so far and I can make arrangement so that I don't bust out of the seams, or I don't act foolish, or I just don't do stupid things. I stop making bad decisions and I stop making wrong choices. And so this is how you find yourself growing. And so all that knowledge, you know, now has brought you to a place of being temperate. Temperance. And so we feel good about ourselves, right? I mean, you should. Growth always brings confidence. Growth always brings a courage about you. You know what? I can live this Christian life. I mean, I put some things away and I added some things and I got this knowledge on situations and I used it the other day when somebody said something to me real smart and real ugly, and 2 years ago I'd have told them off, but you know, I just let it go, and boy, it turned out it made me look like I was walking with God. And man, I just want to live for the Lord so bad. Growth, growth. Self-government, self-control. Let me give you a few scripture tonight to explain that, and then we'll pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is Paul. And boy, Paul, he really had this temperance in his mind and on his heart. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 24. The Bible says, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. You know what that is? That's virtue. That's excellency. Man, I'm going to run this race. I'm going to run it all. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to cut out. If I'm going to run this race, I'm going to run it all, and I'm going to run to win. Excellency. That's great. That's good. And then the Bible says in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. So that striveth for the mastery would be knowledge. I'm not going to run this race ignorant. I'm going to know how to run this race. I'm going to master this thing. I'm going to have all the knowledge I need in order for me to take this trophy, take this prize. He says, now do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth in the air. That's temperance. That's control. That is restraint. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, that by any means I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's the reason. Well, Paul had it down. That's just the first three after the virtue, knowledge, and then temperance. And so you see it right there in Paul's life. Now listen, let's look in chapter 6 of Corinthians and look at verse 12. The Bible says, all things are lawful unto me. In other words, Paul's saying, you know, I can do all things. There's nothing I can't do. And that should be you tonight. There's nothing you can't do. You can do anything under the sun. You have that liberty. You have that law. You can do it. But just because I could do some things don't mean you should do those things. So the next verse says there, next part of the verse says, but all things are not expedient. No, I can do all those things, but I shouldn't do any of those things. So you know what that means? That means restraint, right? That means self-control. That means temperance. That means self-government, self-control. That means I am doing something, add and subtracting. I'm in charge. He says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Any. That's control. That's temperance tonight. The only reason Paul can make that statement is because he has knowledge. And the only reason why that there's knowledge involved is because he had virtue and began with faith. And he grew, and he's growing up to here. So we find temperance here. In Genesis chapter 39, it's a very familiar verse to you guys here, or you guys or gals or church tonight, about Joseph. Joseph. In chapter 39. But again, I'm just going to give you an example of what temperance means so we can have it tonight. And Genesis 39, verse 7. And it came to pass after these sayings that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Temptation? What are you going to do? You're going to have some knowledge here, Joseph, in this battle. You're going to have some virtue, Joseph, and you're going to see it in just a minute. You're going to have to show some firmness and fortitude, and you're going to have some temperance. And he says, be refused, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. That's knowledge. There is none greater in this house than I, knowledge. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, that's knowledge, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph, day by day he hearkened not unto her, that's temperance, to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went to the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Temperance. You find it all. Virtue, knowledge, temperance. Joseph. Look at Job. Job chapter 1. Sometimes it's easier to see a word or understand a word by an example. And so we see it clearly here today. Look at Job. Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2 and look at verse 7. Job 2, 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. He took him a potsherd and he scraped himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? curse God and die. That's harsh. That's tough. That's a, man, an awful place to be. But in verse 10, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. We find virtue, we find knowledge, and we find temperance. He could have fell under the wives' pressure. Many men do. He could have taken her and said to himself, you know, I got to live with this woman, so I better do what she says. I better yield to her demand, because, you know, a happy life is a happy wife. But you know what? His temperance took over. And so we find self-restraint, self-control. Daniel, you know, I've turned there, but we just pretty on to, but Daniel's another man. He comes into the king's palace and he's demanded to drink the king's wine and eat his dainties and his meat. And what did Daniel say? He purposed in his heart. He had temperance. He had virtue and he had knowledge. And we find 1 Peter, turn there with me to chapter 2 and verse 23, Jesus. So Joseph and Job and Daniel, and of course Jesus, we find in chapter 2 and verse 23, says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, verse 22. Verse 23 says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Temperance. He had temperance. He had self-control. Mastering. He was controlling, restraining. So we find the Christian life tonight, you get saved. And we find the Christian life when the first step of your growth is determination. Virtue. I'm determined. I will be what God wants me to be. And then after that, you add wisdom. That's knowledge. Understanding how to behave. Understanding the beliefs. Understanding the battles. Knowing how to move and how to arrange and engage yourself through this life with those battles and behaviors and beliefs. And then lastly, discipline. Temperance. You're on your way to great growth. You're on your way to be what God has you to be. There's great potential with us tonight by making these steps of growth. Amen? Just want to encourage you tonight. May the Lord bless you. I'm not saying anybody's ever fulfilled these steps, but I'm not saying nobody has either. I'm just saying we can. God's given it all to us to do. I'd like to, before I die, like to put all this in my life. Amen. And so that's my hope and desire. I pray that it's yours. All right. Any prayer requests tonight? Yes, sister. Okay. All right. Any others tonight? Do pray. Continue to pray for Sister Darce. She's not very good.